Thank you, Anna Petra, for reading. I hope I won't break down reading weeping, sorry, and I hope it's also not the last time you see me, like they were the last time they were about to see Paul. I should be here next week, unless, I won't make a bad joke. All right, but let's pray for God's help to hear his word now and receive it as we ought. Dear God, we thank you for every good gift that you've given us. We thank you not only for creation, but we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit, who's been at work amongst us. We thank you for your church, for one another, that we can know your love through both your message and your people. We pray now that as we turn to hear your word, that you will remind us what is both timely and what is timeless. And so we pray that we'll keep our eyes focused on the right things, that even though this might be the final Resonate service, that it's not the end. Jesus hasn't returned yet. And so we still have a task in front of us. We pray for your help now. Amen. Well, tell me, does anyone know what a Kodak moment is? A Kodak moment. Yep, so some of the older people. Does any of the younger people know what a Kodak moment is? A couple, not many. Does someone want to share? So who put up their hand? Sam, so what's a Kodak moment? Yep. So a Kodak was the biggest camera company in the world for a century. They dominated 90% of the market. It's a bit like Tesla today, you know, like they're the number one company when it comes to electric vehicles. Well, Kodak was the number one company. And as a part of their advertising campaign for many, 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 many years on TV, as I grew up on as a kid, they'd be advertising their cameras and going to the photo shop to get your photos printed. And they'd talk about Kodak moments. A Kodak moment was a moment that you never ever wanted to forget. It was an unforgettable moment. And so as we enjoy our tonight, our final Resonate service, I want to look back over, well, at least my 6 years of being here and serving as pastor, and share some of the Kodak moments, some of the unforgettable highlights from Resonate and God's work amongst us. But I also mentioned Kodak because there's a good reason why it's the older people that know what a Kodak moment is, but the younger generation, you don't. You see, for 100 years, Kodak was the number one company that absolutely dominated. But in 2012, they declared bankruptcy. They went from hero to zero in a moment, in a very forgettable moment. And so what happened to Kodak? And what can we learn from Kodak about ourselves, from their demise? And the shorter answer is that the game changed. The world changed. And it continued to change. You see, the thing that was the undoing of Kodak was the digital camera. But Kodak invented the digital camera in 1975. But what they did was that they tried to keep this new technology of the digital camera under wraps. They were worried that this new thing they'd invented would ruin the sales and all their profits from the old school film cameras, which were much more profitable. Even once Kodak realized that digital cameras were here to stay in the world, they didn't even then invest very much and put very much effort into developing their own digital cameras. You see, Kodak was lulled into a false sense of security. They thought that their old school film cameras had always been successful and would always be successful. And so they felt no urgency to change. But the end result was that the world passed them by. And so what can we learn from their demise? Well, the world has changed. Our culture has changed. Our community has changed. And the church's relationship with the world has radically changed. And like Kodak, our previous success can blind us to the necessity of change. The church was once large, but now not so. Now, as a congregation, that's been roughly true. In the last year, we've seen an exodus of people, not for bad reasons, but they've just gone to study across the world or across the country. And so as a congregation, back in February, we recognized this situation had become urgent for us. And as we gathered back in February, most of us here, every person indicated that they thought a change was necessary. And so from next week, as we heard Nick say, we're going to be starting a 4 p.m. congregation. But the complication for Christians and for local churches, as we face seasons of change, is to know what to change and what not to change. You see, it's also vitally important that we're clear about what not to change. At the end of the day, that's because God still uses the same resources to move people from death to life, from mortality to immortality. And so to change one of these resources, which we'll see, would be to dishonor God. There's some things that the local church must always continue doing, no matter what our circumstances. And so as we turn to our passage today, Acts chapter 20, we hear from the Apostle Paul. It was his final words, his final sermon to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church. You see, this local church, the church in Ephesus, was about to undergo their own seasonal change. It would be the final time that they ever saw the Apostle Paul face to face. And so in his final words to them, knowing that he was going to go suffer, probably die, and never return, the Apostle Paul drums home to them the core ingredients of his ministry in their local church that they must never change. The Apostle Paul wanted the Ephesian church to copy and continue in these core ingredients. And so likewise for us and every local church, we too are to copy and continue in these ways too. And what the Apostle Paul spells out, what we find is that the church doesn't ultimately need a new method, but we keep relying on an old one. You see, in this chapter, Paul instructs this local church to proclaim and defend the word of God. We pick up the story with the Apostle Paul on his way home back to Jerusalem before his final fateful journey from there to Rome, where he would die. We start in verse 17, if you've got your Bibles open, and Luke, the author, writes, "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church." And so his famous last words, he never wants them to forget. And he begins by stressing this point, that the local church must proclaim the gospel in season and out of season. They must proclaim the gospel. Read with me from verses 20 and 21. And notice how Paul proclaimed the gospel by teaching repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Start with me from verse 20. He says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." You see, the Apostle Paul insisted that each individual make a personal commitment to Christ. Not just intellectual assent to gospel facts, but to a personal inner revolution. Repentance involves turning from sin to live under the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in my opinion, some of the greatest Kodak moments at Resonate over the last 6 years has been to see both Aussies and internationals coming to know Jesus personally as their Lord and Saviour. Even some of us sitting in the room tonight, we saw the photos of the baptisms, how some have crossed from eternal death to eternal life, and their lives have been transformed by coming to know Christ. Some of you here, some came from Christian families, but they've made their faith their own, like Phoebe Waugh, like Keith, like Daniel Morrison. Others came from completely non-Christian, non-religious backgrounds, like Paul, Nelson, Gareth Davey, Tom Rolfe, and some of our Chinese sisters, like Nikki. And as we look back one final time, we can thank and praise God for his work in the lives of these brothers and sisters. Transferring from the kingdom of darkness into Christ's glorious kingdom of light. And so one of the things Paul teaches us here, we must never change as a local church, is being outward looking. We must never stop proclaiming the gospel and teaching faith and repentance in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says next, he also proclaims the gospel by teaching the grace of God. Read with me from verse 22. Verse 22, it says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." You see, the Apostle Paul, he counted his life worth nothing. He didn't live for his own comfort, his own pleasure. He didn't live for the things of this world. He was prepared to go without and even suffer. Why? Because what he cared most about in this life was testifying to the gospel of God's grace. As a leader, it's very easy to fall back from preaching grace to teaching law. People can hear us say, serve harder, pray more, sin less, evangelize more, give more money, worry less. But without the consistent encouragement of the gospel of God's grace. You see, we don't just start the Christian life by grace, we also continue by grace. So another Kodak moment for Resonate throughout the last 6 years I've been here has been Samuel and Anna Petra's growth group. In particular, I know, Samuel and Anna Petra, you've impacted many lives. Many have told me about how much they've loved your group in particular, and the way you've invested in their lives. Many can testify to the fruit. And so can I say both to you publicly, thank you for all you've shared. You've opened your home, you've shared your lives, and also shared about how God's grace ought to change our lives week by week, and what that means for our daily lives. So thank you. You've been an example to us all of how a local church must never stop proclaiming the gospel of God's grace, declaring us incredibly precious, totally pardoned, and assured of our hope in heaven. Because our story is ultimately tied up with God's story. And so look at the next thing Paul says, the third thing. He says, we see that he proclaimed the gospel by teaching the kingdom of God. Read verse 25. Notice this key phrase. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. You see, the overarching theme of the whole Bible from the first chapter to the last chapter is the kingdom of God. Jesus came to bring that kingdom. And at every stage, the Bible tells us that God is bringing his kingdom. God's plans and purposes have always been about him being king, God being God. And so ever since the fall, with Adam and Eve, God's been working to restore God's people to God's place, to experience God's presence, and to enjoy God's blessing as we live under God's rule. And so the hope of the gospel isn't just about us, a free ticket into heaven. Nor is even the hope of the gospel merely only about the redemption of a community, a people, God's church. But the promise of the gospel involves the redemption of the whole cosmos, the whole universe. You see, Christ is going to make all things new. There'll be a whole new creation. Every wrong will be made right. Every wound will be healed. Everything broken will be restored. The best is yet to come, brothers and sisters. But it's not all about the future either. You see, God's future also shapes what happens now, how we live now. So another Kodak moment, I think, for Resonate was how we were able to show our hope. Show hope with the Show Hope campaign in 2020, when the chaos of COVID began to wreak havoc across the world. We had hundreds of university students, international students, in fact, over 1,000, who had no jobs, no money. And for 12 months, we fed all of them so that not one went hungry. As a local church, we must never stop proclaiming the gospel by teaching the kingdom of God. We also see, fourthly, Paul proclaimed the gospel by teaching not only the kingdom of God, but also the whole will of God. Read with me from verse 26. Have a look at verse 26. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of everyone, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. And so the Apostle Paul declared he hadn't hesitated to proclaim to this local church in Ephesus the whole will of God. He didn't neglect parts. He didn't avoid the difficult parts that are unpopular. But he taught a balanced diet of scripture. Just as we need balanced diets physically with food, we need the five food groups, you know, carbs, minerals, vitamins, chocolate, ice cream. The people of God need to be nourished with the whole message of the whole of the Bible. not just the hobby horses of a preacher. And so another Kodak moment, as I look back over the last 6 years, is that as Resonate, actually, we've covered the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We've learned from the Old Testament history books, the history ones and the wisdom ones and the prophets. Well, that's all three parts. We've learned from the Gospels and Acts and Paul's, most of Paul's letters, as well as all the latter ones, the second half of the end part of the New Testament. We've also deep dived into some complex and nuanced doctrines and topics. We've learned about the Holy Spirit and work and rest and the Trinity and money and sex. We've been challenged with theological intensives. We've even had weekends away with our kingdom camps and had the bishop preach to us life-changing messages. And so even as the world changes and we're forced to change, as a local church, we must never, one thing we must never change is being a Bible-based church, preaching the whole Bible and the whole will of God. And so in his final words, we see the Apostle Paul drumming home this essential core ingredient of local church ministry. We've got to teach the gospel by proclaiming, we've got to proclaim the gospel by teaching faith and repentance, the grace of God, the kingdom of God, and the whole will of God. But the Apostle Paul's not quite finished. There's a second and very much, much shorter point, second point, where he reveals another core ingredient. And this second core ingredient is the local churches need to raise up faithful leaders who protect the church, protect the truth. Look at verse 28. Verse 28, he says, keep watch over yourselves. He's talking to leaders here. Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And so leaders have to watch not only over themselves, but watch over the whole church. Why? Because it's not their church. See, who does the church belong to? It's the church of God, God the Father. And the church is very precious to him because it cost him the blood of God the Son. And now he's guiding it through God the Holy Spirit, who appoints leaders. And so since the Trinity is committed to the welfare of the church, well, church leaders ought to take great care to watch over God's flock. Final Kodak moment that I think marks out Resonate is the way that we have been raising up true leaders, faithful young leaders for the future, for God's church. Resonate was the first Anglican church in the state ever to have a full-time ministry apprentice in the Anglican Church of Tasmania, that is. Lucy Summerfield. Currently, we've got, in the last 3 years, we've had three of our own start at three different Bible colleges. Jackson Summerfield, Sibon Varghese, Jordan Green. We've also been sending some of our other interns and young trainees to all sorts of other small local churches around the state, including Taroona Anglican, Glenorchy Anglican, Claremont Anglican, Sorrel and Southern Beaches Anglican, Tribunna and Swansea Anglican, and Longford Anglican. And it's critical that local churches keep raising up new leaders for the next generation, because you can be assured one thing is going to go wrong. And it's going to go wrong from the inside. Poisonous. Rotten. Have a look at verse 29. Paul says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even from your own number. Some will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. The Apostle Paul knows local churches need leaders to protect the church by watching out not only for themselves, not only for the sheep, but watching out for false teachers as well. And so there's been many Kodak moments that we can thank God for. Unforgettable moments. And even as the world changes and we're forced to change, we move from 5:30 to 4:30, sorry, 4 o'clock, there's some things that must never change. We've got to continue to proclaim the word of God, and we've got to continue to raise up faithful leaders to protect the church, because God still uses these same resources to move people from eternal death to eternal life. And as we're faithful as a local church, through all the ups and downs, we can trust that God will be working through us to achieve his good plans and purposes. Look at verse 32. We'll finish with this verse. Verse 32, Paul concludes his sermon. He says to the church, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." You see, Paul knew that ultimately the future of the church never ultimately depends on us, but him, on God. God's the one who ultimately grows the church through his word. He's the ultimate good shepherd, and his sheep know his voice, and he will lead his church home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that the grace of God in the gospel has come to us. We thank you for the forgiveness freely given, undeserved, has been given to us. We thank you that you've poured out your Spirit into our hearts that we might know your love. That we've turned away from living for the things of this world, but to live for things that are ultimate, that are eternal, that are glorious, and that are perfect. Your righteousness and your kingdom. We thank you for the work amongst many dozens, perhaps even hundreds, amongst us here at Resonate. We pray for those seeds that have been planted, especially in the international students who visited once or twice. We pray that you will bring that seed to bear fruit. We pray for the many young men and women who have taken your word to heart. We pray you'll use each and every one of them to serve your church. We pray that they'll stay true to your word, that they'll eat it, digest it, and chew on it. We pray by your Spirit that you will make them grow and use them to make your church grow. We pray no false teacher will draw any of us away ever or lead this church astray. Father God, we long for the day our Lord Jesus will return. The day that he will make all things new, that he'll usher in his kingdom and a new creation. And we pray that you will continue to do your work, good work that you've begun in us until that day. Help us to wait patiently, expectantly, and faithfully. We pray you achieve every good plan and purpose that you've promised through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.